In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 43. Excuse me. Jeremiah, chapter 43, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him unto them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were turned from all nations, whither they had been driven, to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, take thee great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid. And he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death and such as are for captivity to captivity and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it is a It's one of those scenes in the Bible where you know that disaster is coming and it is difficult to look away, although it is a grievous thing to read. Let's make sure that we remember a little bit of the history. Just a couple of chapters ago, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the nobles that were left after the death of Gedaliah at the hands of Ishmael, and after Johanan had rescued the captives out of the hand of Ishmael, and Ishmael had fled to the Ammonites, then Johanan, the son of Kareah, comes to Jeremiah, and he says, okay, now, this is a bad situation. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. This is a bad situation. Here we are now, and what do we have? We have a situation where the ruler that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan have set up in the land of Israel has been slain by one of the descendants of the royal family in Judah, one of the sons of David. This is going to make them really mad. They're going to come back here and they're going to be like a bear bereaved of her cubs. They're going to be, we have rebelled against those that we're supposed to be in tribute to. It's not going to go well for us. So, Jeremiah, please go to the Lord and ask the Lord what we need to do at this perilous time. We're afraid. And then he adds, the Lord be a true and faithful witness if we do not according to everything thou dost tell us. In other words, he adds an oath to his request that we will hear the word of the Lord. And so there is a little bit of a debate that goes on in the last couple of chapters, but Jeremiah tells them everything the Lord has said. Here's what the Lord tells you. It is exactly what he's been telling you the whole time. Go out to Nebuzaradan. Be taken captive. He shall take you away to Babylon. Go there. Pray for the peace of the city. Give in marriage and receive in marriage. Plant vineyards. Build houses until the Lord bring you back. The message never changed. And so the first thing we want to remember, brothers and sisters, is God is not like a man. And you'll see this happen all the time. Maybe you've heard it from your children. Maybe you've heard it from, if you're an employer, your employees or people that are under you in some capacity or other. What normally happens, it's a very interesting thing, isn't it? So they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, can I? And they'll ask a question. And you'll say, no. No, I don't think that's wise. Okay. Half a day later, hey, can I? No. I said no the first time. Nothing's intervened between now and then that should change my mind. No. Okay. Next day, hey, can I? No. And pretty soon, the question itself becomes an act of perhaps a mild rebellion, or maybe more than mild, right? Because what's happening? They're trying to wear you down. They ask the question enough times, eventually you'll say yes, simply to stop getting the question, right? Isn't that what the unjust judge says to the importunate widow? Oh, I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but this widow comes to me day after day after day after day, and so yes, I will. I'll relent. God doesn't relent. If it's wrong then, it'll be wrong now. If it's good then, it'll be good now. And so, one more time, Jeremiah. Remember how Zedekiah put it to him several chapters back? Oh, Jeremiah, maybe the Lord will speak to us according to all his goodness. Johanan has an answer in mind already, doesn't he? Maybe the Lord will tell us to go to Egypt like we want to because we're afraid of the king of Babylon. And so Jeremiah comes back with the answer from the Lord, which is what it always was before. Brothers and sisters, please hear that. Hear that with regard to the word of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is a most sure word. Have faith in what God has told you, that it will indeed be that which maximizes your good and his glory. Trust him. So, Jeremiah once again says to them the truth. Notice that then verse 43, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people the words of the Lord their God, which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, Then notice, the proud men rose up. The proud men. Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all those that were with him, and they were proud. Of course they were. What is it but the height of pride and arrogancy to refuse the word of the Lord? Of course they were proud. This is one of those statements in the prophets where we read, proud, duh, of course they were proud. But my dear brothers and sisters, every time we hear the word of the Lord and turn away because it's hard, uncomfortable, scary, that is also pride. And so we must look for such sins, even in our own hearts, shouldn't we? All right, and then what do they say? They say, no, God did not send you to say that. No, God did not send you to say, don't go to Egypt. It's Baruch's fault. Baruch set you on us. Now, there may have been a time when Baruch was at odds with these men, but notice what they did. They found a competent, circumstantial excuse. How common that is for us. We find a competent, for us, circumstantial excuse to where we don't have to obey the explicit command of God. We can say, no, that's not really what's going on here. You've heard my story of Zeke and Zed, right? Zeke and Zed, the two farmers with the two tractors that live right next door one to another. They've been raised next door to each other. They both inherited their daddy's farms. And they both got tractors. One's raising, and forgive me, I'm not a farmer. One's raising corn and one's raising soy. And whichever one of those crops comes to market first, I think it's corn. What happens? Zeke, who raises the corn, gets out and he goes to start his tractor to go harvest, and he can't. It won't start. So he calls up Zed and he says, Zed, can I borrow your tractor? And he says, nope, can't borrow him a tractor. Why not? Because it's going to get dark tonight. What does that have to do with anything? Come on, Zed, you know if I don't make my harvest, I'm going to go hungry come winter. Nope, it's going to get dark tonight. I don't want to loan you my tractor. So what does getting dark have anything to do with? He says, nothing. But when you don't want to do something, one excuse is just as good as another, isn't it? What did they find? They didn't want to go to Egypt. And so they found an excuse. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, beware of finding excuses to disobey the Lord. Beware of finding excuses not to obey Him. And beware of finding excuses to do anything except a full obedience of Him. Right? Those excuses will come back to haunt you. Okay, so remember that they had sealed their obedience with an oath. And so now not only are they refusing to hear the word of the Lord, but they have also broken their oath to hear the word of the Lord. They have aggravated their sin. And let's remember also that when we open our mouths, our yea is to be yea and our nay is to be nay. But in a case like this, where it was most certainly of the greater weight and moment that would require a vow from them, they took that vow. And yet broke it. And so this is a great aggravation of their sin. And so what did they do? They acted on their own impulse. They were hoping to get Jeremiah's approval, but they were going to do what they were going to do. And so they gathered everybody up, and they flew to Egypt. They thought to protect themselves. And this is the final point. I'm getting short on time, so let me make the final point. They thought to go to Egypt to deliver themselves out of the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, what they did was they drew Egypt under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that is something to meditate on. That when we fly from the face of the Lord and go and do our own thing and carry others with us, we bring them also very often under some temporal judgments as well. We've seen this before, haven't we? We saw it in Achan at Jericho when he saw the wedge of silver the piece of gold, the mantle, those other Babylonian artifacts, or those, Babylonian artifacts. And he coveted them, and he took them, and he hid them under his tent. And yet, what was it, 37 men died when they went to Ai? They died because of Achan's sin? Very often, brothers and sisters, it's not just ourselves we harm. It's our loved ones we harm when we make such contrary decisions contrary to God's word. Oh, we must be careful. We must be careful. Notice also that the Lord advances his own name, even in the sin of those who called upon his name. The Lord says, I'm going to stir up Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to tear down the idols of Egypt, so that you will understand that Egypt is no place to trust. Now remember, just a generation and a half ago, Egypt had gone out, and Josiah, great King Josiah, had been killed by Necho in battle. And that Necho had made Jerusalem tributary, and that Necho had risen up and his son and had drawn Babylon out of Jerusalem on more than one occasion. They had wanted to put a fire out over here where Egypt has come up. The Lord says, all of that's over with now. Egypt is about to fall, and Egypt is not going to fall out in the field. Egypt is going to fall at Pharaoh's house. At Pharaoh's palace. That's how far Egypt will fall. So that you will never, people of God, be tempted to trust in that broken reed again. Oh, people of God, hear. Whatever prop you erect, whatever strength you think will save you from your temporal judgments, other than leaning upon the Lord and his word, the Lord does you a favor by taking it out of the way, no matter how much the ripping hurts. It will be for your good. And he does so because he loves you, because he cares for you, his people. With that then, let's stand and